Good morning. It's great to be here with all of you. Thank you so much for coming out and worshiping with us today. Before we get into God's Word, I want to share with you a little experience I had this past summer. Last summer, I had the opportunity to go on a vacation of a lifetime with my wife and my kids and my in-laws and cousins, and we were able to go on a cruise, on a Disney cruise, to the Bahamas. And this is not a normal thing for me, being able to travel to these various places, but like I said, a vacation of a lifetime. And one thing that I got to experience was I was able to run my first 5K ever. I can't say run because I walked a lot of it, okay? I participated in my first 5K ever. And so here's what happened. Okay, Disney, they have this island. They have their own island. Okay, and as part of the cruise, you can sign up for this 5K run, which is, I believe, around 3.3 miles. Okay, and just so you know, I hate to run because I'm out of shape, and so it's not fun to run long distances or anything past, you know, running to the fridge, okay? I get out of breath, all right? And so, anyway, my wife really wanted to do this, and she encouraged me to do this, and so we signed up, and so here's what they do. You know, you have to register, and they sit you down in a room before you run. They put up on the screen, they put up a map. This is the route that you need to run, and it's very easy. You pretty much start at the starting line, you go straight, you cross the street, you go into this loop, you go through the loop, come out of the loop, and you go down the path, and then you go to the finish line. Very easy. Well, during these directions, of course, I don't need directions, all right? I know where to go. I'm going to do this, okay? I'm in good shape. I'm young, youngish, and no problem. This is going to be easy. And I look around. I see little kids. I see my nephew is going to run this too. I see elderly people. I see middle-aged people. I see people that I think, oh, I'm in better shape than them. No problem. And so it's time to run. And so they tell us the way that we're supposed to go. So we start running. I'm feeling good about the first 50 feet. And I start walking, and another 50 feet. Okay, so I'm running and walking, and I'm going about. I make it to the loop, and I see family members passing me. I see, so I think, I know I'm doing okay, and the elderly people, they're still back there, so I'm doing okay. And time goes by. Now, normally, if someone just walks 3.3 miles, you could probably walk it in about 45 minutes. Maybe 15 minutes per mile walking, right? I don't know. Most people, okay? The average person could walk a mile in 15 minutes. So anyway, it's probably about 45 minutes go by, and I'm still running in this loop portion of our race, okay? And I have my headphones in, and I'm just plugging along, going my own way, and I realize, oh, something's not right. And I realize, I haven't seen my nephew. Oh, I haven't seen those older people in a while. What's going on? Why does this loop feel like it's going on forever? And what had happened was I did not pay attention to the exit of the loop. And I was just running in the loop and walking in the loop. Okay, I don't know how many times, it wasn't that many times because I was going so slow, but I missed the exit. And so, needless to say, the race, I finally realized this when Debbie had to come get me. I missed the sign of, I actually did start to see the elderly people, where they were in front of me, and people that are just walking the whole time, and they were talking, and we just walked the whole time, we just enjoy this race. Like, they were walking the whole time and they're ahead of me. What happened? I had gotten lost. I had gotten lost. I confess to you, church. I got lost in this race, this simple race. And so by the time I realized what was going on, it was too late. You know, most everyone was finished. I wasn't the last one, okay? But I was one of the last ones. They didn't have to come pick me up in a vehicle or anything, all right? But I had gone the wrong way. I had gone my own way and gotten lost, and it was too late to to do anything about it. And, you know, it was somewhat humbling and embarrassing. You know, part of our family left because they were waiting so long for me at the finish line. And then, you know, I see the other family just, you know, and they see me from coming to the finish line, and really the reaction is, "Oh, what took you so long? What happened? What happened to you, Steve?" Okay, so very embarrassing, very humbling. But that brings us to today. Believe it or not. And I want you to look in your Bibles, if you could. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 21. And if you didn't know, today is Palm Sunday. Why is it Palm Sunday? It's because it's Jesus. He entered in Jerusalem, and there the people of Israel, the people of Jerusalem, were celebrating. They were honoring Him. The King has come. The Savior is coming, who's going to save us. But they didn't quite understand what type of a Savior He really was, what type of a King He really was. But Palm Sunday, the time when Jesus came, and if you look in chapter 21, I just want to briefly read some of it. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and He will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of Him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is Jesus. Who is this man? And so you see the people of Israel recognizing that Jesus has come, the Savior has come, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna." What does Hosanna mean? I was just telling our youth this morning, Hosanna means, in one sense, it means literally, "Save us now, please. Save us now, please." And yet in this sense here, when we look in celebration, that the people of Israel awaiting their Savior, they're shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." It's like shouting out, "Salvation has come. Salvation is here. His name is Jesus." What a great day it is today. The day that our King came. But see, you look and you see in this passage somewhat the end of Jesus' earthly race. The end of His race, the race that He came to run here on earth as a human being, as a man, as both man and God. This Palm Sunday signified the last week of Jesus' earthly life. Before He would be captured, crucified, killed, put in the tomb. And the week that He would rise from the dead, that He would conquer death, He would conquer sin once and for all. The final days of Jesus' earthly ministry. And so we see that. We see the end of Jesus' race, and also we are given insight and challenged to think about the race that we are running today. And that's our focal passage for today. Matthew chapter 21. I want you now to move forward to verse 28, verse 32. You know, we're continuing our study of the parables of Jesus. And today we're studying the parable of the two sons. And so if you could follow along with me in your Bible or on the screen, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. And Jesus, just to give you a little background, Jesus then, yes, He entered in and then with this great fanfare, entered Jerusalem. And the first thing that He does after entering Jerusalem and all this craziness and this uproar is happening, He goes to the temple. And He goes and He cleans house. He goes in there and He sees all the corruption that is going on. And He starts to regulate. He flips tables of the money changers, the people that were ripping off the people of Israel. You know, they were getting in the way of true worship. Jesus goes in the temple. He creates a scene and a ruckus, rebuking them. And so the religious leaders of the time, they start to pay attention. Okay, they start to take action and to question Jesus. And just before this parable, they actually question Jesus' authority. By what authority, Jesus, are you doing this? They ask Him. Why are you doing this? And what power, what authority do you have to do this? And so Jesus answers them. Well, He answers them with a question. And then He goes on to share these stories, these parables. And so here we are. Chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. Jesus says to them, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Jesus asked, 'Which of the two did what his father wanted?' 'The first,' he answered. Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him.'" You see, the religious leaders of this time, they were questioning Jesus' authority, Jesus' power, who Jesus was. And Jesus was saying, you question even John the Baptist, who came to prepare my way. You rejected him. You questioned his authority, just like you are questioning me." And so, dear church, this morning I want to ask you a few questions. And ultimately, the question is, will you follow Jesus? But one question, the first question, if you look in your outline, you can follow along, you can fill in the blanks if you like. First question I want you to ask and think about is, do you recognize Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you recognize Jesus Christ is Lord? Did you know that Jesus is the Lord? That He is the King of Kings, that He is the Lord of Lords? Did you know that the Old Testament contains around 300 prophecies that point to Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah? Over 300 prophecies. That means people of old talked about. God gave them these words to share with the people, telling that He was going to send a Savior, that Jesus was going to come to save God's people, to die on the cross, to make atonement for sin, to make a way for people to be with God. Over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. And these prophecies, people all over the world, they recognize that these prophecies authenticate who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a man. He was not just a teacher. He was God. He was the Savior of the world. The one that we've been waiting for. Prophecy authenticates Jesus' deity. The prophecies authenticate the inspiration of the Bible, God's Word. And Jesus even quotes the Old Testament here. He points back to Zechariah, the prophet, when he said this in chapter 9, verse 9. That quote, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt." See, just this, the prophet Zechariah said this, told the people over 500 years before this was to happen, Over 500 years ago, this was prophesied, this was told to the people, and this day it was happening. Jesus came to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It was happening. He's here. Do you know that Jesus is Lord? What does Lord mean? What is a Lord? Someone that has all power. Someone that has all authority. A master, a ruler. This is Jesus as Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is all powerful, almighty, totally in control. Jesus is God. And you see here, leading into this passage, this parable, the people of Israel, they acknowledge that. They prepared His path. They proclaimed His praises, shouting, "Salvation is here." Some people knew who He was. Some people knew Him as Lord. Yeah, we see here in this parable, right? We see this parable as contrasting the two sons. Okay, and in this passage, it's framed in two questions, right? Framed in two questions, asking, Jesus asked, "What do you think?" And He asked also, "What? Who did the Father's will?" And so you see these two sons, and Jesus explained, who are these two sons describing? And so the first son, what does he do? The first son says, the dad asked him to go and work in the vineyard. First son's response was, "No, I will not." But what happens? He comes to his senses, he ends up going and working, doing what the father asked him to do. The second son, what does he do? The father asked him to go and work. The second son says, "Yes, sir, I will." And what does he end up doing? Nothing. He ends up disobeying his father and not working. And Jesus says to the religious leaders, the chief priests, the elders, He says, you guys are like the second son. And you know what? Beyond that, Jesus is also contrasting these high chief religious leaders, these people that have high status in society, in Jewish culture, contrasting them with the prostitutes, with the tax collectors, the ones who were the worst of the worst in Jewish society, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And Jesus said to them, to the chief priests and the elders, "These people, the worst of the worst, they're ahead of you. They're going to go into the kingdom of God ahead of you. You guys are like this second son. And they are like the first son who they sinned. At first they disobeyed, but yet they repented and ultimately obeyed. Yet you guys are the one. You chief priests, you elders, you are the one who act like you are good, who think you are good, but inside you're dying. Inside there is sin." Do you know, dear friends, Jesus is Lord? The tax collectors, the prostitutes, they knew. They came to Jesus. They realized their sin, yet the chief priests and the elders, they did not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things come and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, whom all things came and through whom we live." You know, oftentimes we think about Jesus, right? How Jesus loves us so much that He came and He died. John 3:16, "And whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We believe, right? You believe. Jesus is your Savior. He came to save you, to die for you, because He loves you. If I were to ask you, most of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, you'd be able to tell me that beyond the shadow of a doubt. You believe that Jesus is your Savior. And you tell me why you know that, because He died for you, He shed His blood, He rose from the dead. He saved you from your sin, saved you from hell. But what about this? That's not all who Jesus is. He's not just a Savior. Do you know that Jesus is Lord? And if you believe that Jesus is Lord this morning, dear friends, brothers and sisters, how do you live in light of that fact, of that truth that Jesus is Lord? He is the King of Kings. He is your Master. He is all-powerful. All authority is in Him. Is that truth evident in how you live in relationship to Jesus? Do you know that Jesus is Lord? Do you recognize? Secondly, so yeah, we know that Jesus is Lord. We know about it. We know that, yes, He's supposed to be Lord. But have you received Jesus Christ as Lord? Do you actually believe that He's Lord of your life? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord? And you look at this parable. I'm going to keep referring back to this parable and go over these verses. But you see Jesus asking these religious leaders, which of the two did what his father wanted? And they answered correctly. They said, well, the first one. The first one that actually listened and ended up doing the work and doing what the father asked them to do. And see, Jesus is so wise. Jesus told them the story, knowing their hearts, knowing the sinful condition of their hearts. And He brings it to light. Not by yelling at them, but He asks them these questions and He tells them the story. And yet it reveals the truth of their hearts, the sin in their own lives, of how they talk about being so righteous, so good, how they pride themselves on how they live in obedience to God. And yet in all truth, they're living in disobedience to God. They're missing the point. They're not doing the will of God. These leaders who were given these positions to lead the people of Israel were not leading them to life. They're leading them to death. They're living in a way that's outside of the will of God. And so I ask you, who is Jesus to you? Some of us, we may say that Jesus is Savior and our Lord, but yet when we really consider our lives and our attitudes, some of us may treat Jesus like an insurance policy. Some of us may treat Jesus like a magical genie. And when I want something, I just need to ask. Some of us may think that Jesus is just our path to safety and comfort here on earth. Some of us may even treat Jesus like who He is, our Savior, our Redeemer. But have you received Jesus as your King? Have you received Jesus as your Lord? You see, in John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Jesus came to His very people that He loved, and yet the very people that He loved and died for did not receive Him. Jesus was here. He's talking to these Jewish leaders, the very people that God's chosen people. Jesus was here talking with them. And see, they didn't believe that He was the Lord, these religious leaders. He tells them straight up, you guys, you see these prostitutes, you see these tax collectors that you look down upon, that you consider the worst of the worst of society, you see these people. They are going to enter the kingdom before you. What a slap in the face that must have been. If you consider the culture, if you consider the time, again, Jesus compared them to the worst of the worst of society, and yet He's saying, in a way, they are better than you. You leaders, you religious leaders, these outcasts, they are better than you. You see, what was their problem? What was the problem of those religious leaders? They claimed to be living in obedience to God's law, and yet they were not. And yet the prostitutes and the tax collectors, they realized that they were sinful. They realized that they were in sin. And they turned to Jesus. You see, when you look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oftentimes, I think we think of this maybe as a magical formula, or we just focus on the last part, you will be saved if you do this. But we forget about this part at the beginning, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, not just confessing as in saying it. Saying it is not what's important in this passage to be saved. Not saying that Jesus is Lord. Believing, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord is what's important. If you confess, if you're going to confess something, we're talking about you actually believe that it's true. Actually believe that Jesus, you are my Lord. I want you, Jesus, to be my master, my ruler. I acknowledge you are all powerful. All authority is in you. And so I give my life to you, Jesus. You are my Lord. I believe that you died and you rose from the dead. Jesus isn't just Savior. Jesus is Lord. And so the third question then is, how will you respond? How do you respond to the truth, the fact that Jesus... Will you respond to Jesus Christ as your Lord? Will you follow Him today, dear friends? Are you following Him today, brothers and sisters? What does it look like then to follow Jesus as your Lord? What does the Bible tell us? If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey my commands. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I've said. You will obey what I've commanded and taught you to do. You will do what I say. You will take all of my words seriously, not just the ones that are convenient for you. Not just the ones that make you feel good or apply to your situation. And I want to ask you, dear friends, if we're going to say that Jesus is our Lord, do we take all of what Jesus says seriously? Do we prioritize what Jesus prioritizes? And I'm not saying you have to know and memorize all of God's Word and know and do everything perfectly. But what I'm saying, it's an attitude, it's a condition of the heart. Do I prioritize Jesus? Do I prioritize His commands in my life? Do I care about His command to love Him first? And to love others, to love my neighbor? Do I care about going and making disciples? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teaching all that Jesus has commanded. Have you responded to Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you chosen to follow Him? I think it's interesting, and I confess this in my own life. There's so many times, and even now, I know what God wants me to do. And yet I don't do it, and I choose not to do it. It's like that race that I ran. They told me exactly where to go. They laid out a map for me. They told me the way. They showed me the way. They told me the truth. And yet I chose my own way. I ignored it. And then it was too late. Everyone passed me by. Isn't it funny? We know what God wants us to do. If you've come here for even 1 week, you know something that God wants you to do. It's funny how oftentimes, funny or sad, that God calls us to sacrifice, and yet all I want to do at times is hold on to everything that I get. It's funny how God calls us to love others, and yet all I do is love myself. Or how God calls us to lay down my life, and all I want to do is save my life and preserve it. How God calls us and tells us, Jesus tells us, if you love me, if you follow me, you're going to be persecuted. And yet all I want to seek in this life is safety and comfort. How God calls me to forgive. Jesus says, forgive just as you've been forgiven. And yet it's so easy for me to hold on to bitterness. It's so easy for me to hold grudges. It's funny to know that Jesus has set me free from sin. And He said it was finished when He was on the cross. And yet it's so easy for me to hold on to my guilt and my shame and carry it around with me for year after year after year and never let it go. It's funny that Jesus calls and commands us to bear one another's burdens, to serve one another, to love one another. And yet, I end up serving myself most of the time. Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? Or is He just a ticket to heaven? Because I tell you this, the tax collectors thought they had that ticket. Or not the tax collectors, the religious leaders. They thought they were in the right. They thought they were righteous. But they were wrong. They had gone their own way instead of choosing Jesus, the way. How many of you are here this morning and it's time for you to choose Jesus? To receive Him as your Lord. When you look at Joshua, you know, you think back to the Israelites and how they were, God freed them out of slavery through Moses, and then Joshua kind of took that leadership. And you see here in Joshua 4, verses 14 through 15, Joshua says this to the people. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in those land, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so there is a choice we have to make, friends, brothers and sisters. Have you chosen? We have to choose. Are we going to serve Jesus Christ and acknowledge Jesus is Lord? And are we going to live our lives and give our lives to Him? That means all of our lives. I find it becomes so easy to justify sin. And oftentimes we think of sin as horrific things like murder and doing drugs and getting drunk and whatever it is, all those horrible things. But sin is disobedience to God. Sin is rebellion against God. It's lying, it's cheating, it's not doing the things that He's called you to do. That's sin. And we're so easy to justify, so quick to justify. Well, you know, I just don't have time right now to really serve the Lord. I am serving the Lord. I'm serving my family. You know, the kids, they got practice, they got tutoring, they got music lessons, and my time is just, we don't have time to come to church to worship. It's so hard to wake up at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock and make it to church at 9:30 because we're just so busy. We're too busy to worship the Lord together with our church family. I've been there. I've been late. I have not prioritized worshiping God on a Sunday morning with my church family. But how easy is it to do that? How easy is it for us to justify sin? It's easy for us to justify sin when Jesus Christ is not our Lord. When we ourselves are our own God, or when money is our God, or success, or comfort, or safety. When that's our God, then it becomes easy to justify sin in our lives, to justify not following Jesus. Well, this last question, last two questions I want to ask you, friends. So in light of knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord, thinking about if you've received Him, thinking about then how you will respond to Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe some of you here, you realize that there is sin in your life. And it's my prayer that we would not be like the religious leaders whose hearts were so hardened, who had lost their way, were so jaded that they couldn't realize the truth. that the truth was standing right in front of them, yet they wouldn't follow. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't repent. They wouldn't turn, acknowledge their sin and turn from their sin and turn to Jesus. And so my question for you, brothers and sisters, will you repent and submit to Jesus Christ as Lord this morning? And to put it, to ask another question, the last question, what is stopping you? What really is preventing you from acknowledging Jesus as Lord of your life and living of that truth that He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, all-powerful, almighty, deserves everything, all glory, honor, and praise? What's stopping you now? Who is it? What is it that's reigning in your life? What is it that you truly desire? And you look, I want to point you back to that last verse of this parable. Verse 32. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. Even after you saw all of this, even after you know all of this about Jesus, you did not repent and believe. Repent. You didn't turn. You didn't acknowledge your sin and turn 180 degrees and turn back to me. After all of this, you didn't repent and believe. Maybe some of you here this morning, maybe God's stirring in your heart. Maybe He's convicted you. But as I was studying this parable and the fact, I was looking more into the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and how I want Him to be the Lord of my life. In light of that truth, there is no way. There is no longer that I could allow to myself to live life in disobedience. In light of this truth of Jesus Christ's Lordship in my life, no longer am I allowed to live a life of disobedience and be comfortable with it. Brothers and sisters, it's time for us to be uncomfortable. To be uncomfortable with sin in our lives. To stop being comfortable in disobedience. What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that He's commanded you to do? And it's a real simple question to ask yourself, am I doing it? And I know we can come up with a lot of excuses, a lot of things that we could say, well, I don't have time, or I'm not gifted in that way, or you know, that's just not me, that's not my personality to do that. But I tell you this, dear friends, God doesn't expect you to have everything, you know, to have all the skills. God wants you to be available. God asks that you be available. God asks for you to surrender to Him. He's going to give you everything that you need to do everything that He's created you to do. And so will you follow Jesus today? For some of you, that's acknowledging Him as your Savior, acknowledging that you need Him. You believe that He died for you on the cross over 2,000 years ago to forgive you of your sin. For others of you, my brothers, my sisters, maybe we really haven't made Him Lord of our lives. Maybe we've gone our own way. And I share this with you this morning because let's not wait until it's too late to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise You for who You are. God, You, Jesus, You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. God, You are the Creator of all things, all-powerful, all-knowing, perfect. And God, I thank You for Your Word. Jesus, thank you for this parable, this story that you use to rebuke the religious leaders. God, that you use to reveal people's hearts, their idolatry, their sin. And God, I pray that this morning that you would use this parable to reveal our hearts. And God, if there's any sin in our hearts, whether we've just had an incomplete view of Jesus Christ, whether we want to grip on so tightly to the Savior part, but not to the Lord part. God, I ask for your forgiveness. And God, I pray that you would stir us to action, that you would stir us to respond to this truth, that Jesus is Lord. That we would respond by acknowledging Him as Lord of our life. And not just in word, but that it would show in our action. Because God, we know that faith without action is dead. And so God, I pray that today would be the day, today would be the day, God, where we follow you, where we follow Jesus as Lord of our life. And we choose to lay down our life so that we may gain it. And God, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as both Savior and Lord, God, I pray that this morning they would choose both. That they would choose, believe, and trust all of who Jesus is. Knowing that all they have to do is believe and confess and acknowledge that Jesus is God's Son. That He came and He died. That He is Lord. That He rose from the dead. And brought forgiveness of sin. And when we believe that, when we confess Him as our Lord, our Savior, we can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are saved and forgiven and will be with you for the rest of forever. And so God, if there's anyone here that needs to make that choice, I pray that they do it, that they have done it already as we pray, that they know, God, that they are forgiven, that they are saved, God, and that they have eternal life. And God, I pray that for my brothers and sisters here as well, God, if there's any sin in our hearts, if there's any idolatry, God, I pray that we would confess it to you this morning, that we would receive your forgiveness, and that we would move forward in newness of life with a heart that desires to follow you with everything, in every way. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you to rise and sing as we respond to God. And if you would like me to pray with you, if you've made a decision today, I want to invite you to come and allow me to pray with you as we sing.